You know, not a lot of people want the deacon role because it's a serving role. A serving role. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 4. And as you do that, I want to share with you a couple of things. You see those odd-looking light bulbs across over there? We need to light 21 of those up before the end of the year. Why? Thank you for asking. Because a few weeks ago, back in January, we had a time of prayer and fasting. Everybody remember our time of prayer and fasting? Yes, prayer and fasting. Which means we, one of those things we prayed for and fasted for during those 5 days was that the Lord would give us 21 baptisms, that we'd be a part of that. 21 baptisms. So the idea came up. We have 21 baptisms. So we plug that in, and every when we have someone that is baptized, we go in and we're able to turn that bulb on and it lights up. And the goal is 21 of those lights. Now there's 25 on there, so you kind of go full bore, right? But 21. Now that's impossible. Does that seem impossible? I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. I'm just not going to tell you it's going to be easy. Because you're not going to like what I'm going to say about it. But I'm going to tell you there's 21 people that need to be lit up on that. You see, when you're talking about spiritual things, the world wants to be in a big battle with spiritual things. Because they don't work very well together. And I'm just going to say it like this. There is a hell, not because I said so, but because God's word says there is. I'm not going to run and I'm not going to shy from it. There is a place of torment. This whole thing you see in the movies, well, we're just going to dine in hell together tonight. I'll see you in hell tonight. We're going to party in hell tonight. Let me tell you, there's no party. There's no dining. It's all suffering. But there also is, we have the heaven. We have with the Lord. There is dining there. There's fellowship with the Lord there. It's good. It's blessing. It's not a fantasy. It's truth. And when I share those things, people don't want to believe it. Paul says in chapter 4, therefore, in verse 1, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Have a ministry. We have ministries, but these do not. There is one ministry that trumps all ministry, and that is the Great Commission. We are called to go out and share the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We are called to share the gospel. That should be a part of every ministry that every church has. And we don't lose heart. Even when our numbers don't look good, we don't quit. We can't quit. We can't afford to quit. I wish sometimes that we could really understand what it means when someone has given their life to Christ, the salvation. Have any of you ever shared the gospel with someone and they told you no? And you shared it again, they told you no. Or you ever share the gospel and you walked away and said, man, I really blew that. I said some stupid stuff. They must have not come to Christ because I went down rabbit trails. I stumbled over my words. I couldn't remember scripture. I couldn't do anything right. You ever share the gospel and someone cursed you? Cursed at you? Told you to go on down the road? Maybe slammed the door in your face? Maybe said, get all that hogwash stuff out of here. Paul continues, he says in verse 2, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Let me tell you, we're not playing tricks with the gospel. I'm not using the gospel to say, hey, here, get your best life now, and you can do whatever you want, and it's okay. Just run around and be all what you want. It's okay. No, that's not what the gospel is. And going around and telling people, if you give and you get your seed, then you'll get a harvest. And it's all about giving to get and get to giving. No. It's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is men and women seeing that they are separated from God because of their sins. And that Christ died for them and gave them an opportunity that their life might be turned and redeemed for the purposes of God and have salvation through Christ. Salvation through Jesus Christ. And there's a whole lot of conversation where people will bring into that one piece. Because our lives are complicated. Our lives are messy. Things have happened to some people that haven't happened to others, but other things have happened. But there's something that's going on. Listen, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, when you share it, you know you're telling the Holy Spirit is telling you that it's time to share the gospel, right? I'm taking this off. It's time to share the gospel, right? It's time to share the gospel, right? And here it is. The sharing the gospel brings it. The Holy Spirit is ushering in. But I want to tell you, you're standing against the wall. The pits of hell standing right in front of you. Because there's something of value right there. The most valuable thing in the world, in this universe, is a person's soul. A person who is standing right there. And there is an opportunity of just a life preserver, Jesus Christ, coming to them that you can reach him and that he could pull them out of the pits of hell and into the arms of Christ, into the arms of the Father, changing homes from hell to heaven. And here what we find out, that there is a wall there. Here we go. You ready? The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So first of all, when you're talking to someone that's lost, you're talking to a wall. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can penetrate that wall. But that wall is thick on some. That wall is thick. And I'm telling you, you can't break it down, but the Holy Spirit can. You are not called to save people. You are called to share the gospel. You're called to share the way. You're called to share it. You're called to share it. I'm telling you, somebody is dying every 12 seconds. And there are people, and the Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many follow. There's a lot of people going to hell today. There's a lot of people that are going to hell today. They're going there. They've took the worldview. They are listening to the politics. Because of their sexuality, they're saying whatever it is. I'm not saying that one piece of sin in it, but because what they believe that people that believe against what they believe, they are haters. We are not haters. Don't put words in my mouth. I am not a hater because of the way you live. I may disagree with the way you live, but I also know that's the way the lost people live. So I have a love for you because you live that. I have a love for you even though you live that way. I have a love for you and my heart breaks because you are still lost in your sin. You are separated from Christ. And churches today are just starting to just accept it all. They want to be accepted. We don't have time to be accepted. We shouldn't want to be accepted. We were already a part of that world. We need Jesus Christ. Every human being needs Christ, and Satan knows it. He knows that the time is short. He knows that every person that doesn't have Christ is in his hand. They are puppets of the devil. They are used for darkness. Whether that be in politics. Listen, there's a lot of people in the politics you may not like, but I'm telling you right now, many of them are lost and they're going to hell. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. You're a senator, a congressman, or whatever it is, a king or a queen across this country, or a president. It has no weight standing before God Almighty. It has no weight whatsoever. We need to be praying for those people, not out of anger, but out of love. And if you don't agree with what's going on, listen, with what's going on in the world, know that these things are going to happen. They're going to happen because we are in a dark world. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. This is what happens in relationships. One person's a Christian, one's not. They're in a relationship. One will pull the other one's trying to pull. There's a wall there. They have a relationship. They say they love each other. I'm not saying they can't, because they can love each other. God has created us to love each other. But when two people that are not believers come together, there is a wall there. Why? Because, not because of what I'm saying, but the Bible says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Let's go on. So that they cannot see the light of the gospel. That's the only reason. So they don't get hope in Jesus Christ. The only hope in this world is Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. It's the only hope. So that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is only one Jesus Christ. There was only one crucifixion, burial, death, and resurrection, and Jesus Christ did all that for you and I. And if you're a Christian and you're living in a messy world, I'm telling you right now, God still loves you, but you need to get it together. Because I've heard it so many times. Even believers that are out there living not so great with the Lord will begin to start to share God a little bit with some people. And it doesn't go anywhere, because the people look at your life and look at that and say, I'm not going to tell you this, but you're a hypocrite. I'm not trying to judge people today. I'm just telling you the truth. There's too many hypocrites in the pulpit. Too many hypocrites in the pews. Too many hypocrites in the church. We need to get out there and live. This whole thing, this list of things we read across of that deacon role, that should be every believer. So that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. This is what's happening. Satan is putting a wall up there on the hearts and the minds of every non-believer, unbeliever. When that gospel is starting to chip and start hitting on that wall, what they'll say is, that's not scientific. That's not the way my dad said. My dad said there is no God. My mom says there is no God. He'll use anything to keep a person from coming to Jesus Christ. He'll use anything. And he don't care what he uses. He will bring up this, I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You know what you did. You know what you've done. You know what you did. And you know what? He's right. You know what you did. You know what you've done. Satan will use the truth. As long as it's fitting his plan, he'll use the truth. And a sinner and a lost person is lost in those sins. They did commit those things. But what's chipping at the wall is, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Listen, listen. There's hope for you. It's the gospel. It's Jesus Christ. There is a way. There is salvation. There is redemption. And Satan keeps putting it up. Minds. And that person is inside. He's inside. Don't know which way to go. And here's what we do. Here's what we do when we get a no. I don't know if I'm ready for it. I don't know. I don't know about all that stuff. Listen, this is when you go back. I mean, telling you, you're already in spiritual warfare when you start sharing the gospel. I want to tell you that right now. The second part is, you need, when you go away and they didn't make that decision, you need to go away and you need to start praying, and you probably need to do a little fasting for this person's soul. This is big stuff. There's nothing bigger than salvation. There is nothing bigger than salvation. And people need Christ today. And you know somebody who needs Christ. You have family members that need Christ. And you share it with them, and they're as hard as a rock. And I'm telling you, you need to pray for them every day. Don't you quit praying for them. Don't you quit praying for them. You can't afford to quit. You might be the only one in their life that's trying to share the gospel. And if you quit, it's over. You got to pray, even when they tell you, I don't want to hear it anymore. You know what you do? You go back and you just pray for them. You just keep praying for them on your time. You pray for them. Why do you keep doing that? Because you love them. You care about them. It breaks your heart that they don't know Christ. He says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Anybody that preaches up here needs to preach about and for and to all the stuff about Jesus Christ, not self. When we share the gospel, we're doing it for that person. Really, we're doing it for Jesus and that person. What do we get out of that? We've already been saved. We know, but we want that person to come to Christ. What it is God's using you as a vessel, as a tool to share the gospel. You're not responsible for yes or no or maybe or whatever. You're responsible to share the gospel. But you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit says, shut up and you're done. When he says, be quiet, and you know it, and you feel it, you just walk away. What God is saying, a no doesn't mean it's always going to be a no. When you share that gospel with them, and they, you know, you share it with them, they listen to it, and you know the Holy Spirit says, you're done, you walk away. Seed has been planted. Somebody else down the road that you may not ever know that God's going to use to water that seed again. A week, 2 weeks, a year later. Read the book Blue Light Jazz. It took a while for this man in that autobiography getting saved. It took a lot of people to water that one seed. And then there was that salvation. It isn't about that we get the credit for leading someone to Christ. No, it's that person comes to Christ, however way it would be. And if you are a part of it, well, praise the Lord, God used you. So you're not responsible for every 21 of these. But you are responsible for the people that he puts in your path. Listen, I want you to listen to me real good. Just because daddy, mommy says they're believers, don't take their word for it. There's a lot of people walking around saying they're saved because they've been to some church services. Feel kind of good about when they go. And no fruits. Their life is not, I'm not saying you don't get to heaven by your works, but there's just no display of the Holy Spirit whatsoever. No display whatsoever. You need to keep praying and keep working on them. But you also don't get to the point where someone comes to Christ and you go, I don't think that person come to Christ. I don't think that person did. Listen, you need to be careful. It's spending time with Christ. It's spending time with the Lord in prayer. He said, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Let light shine out of darkness. Huh. Let light shine out of darkness. Huh. Well, you were once lost. Now light's shining out of you. This land wasn't always a church. It had trees in it. And there's grass, and there's a field, and somebody made a church and out of this area, then light starts shining out. But people don't like the light. Because the light shows up, reveals the stuff that's in darkness. The stuff that we think is hidden. And the lost people, they don't like it either when their stuff is revealed. So now we make new laws, and we make new ideas, and we do these things so that those things will now to become accepted. But let me tell you, just because the world accepts it doesn't mean God accepts it. The world keeps changing its rules and guidelines, but this never changes. This is true. This is truth. This is truth. I want to share something in the book of John for a moment. Jesus is talking to his had this miracle about eating the bread, and now Jesus is going to talk about this thing called the bread of life. Verse 35 of John chapter 6, he says this. Oh, read 32. It says, Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. They didn't understand it. But Jesus says, and Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Hold on, here we go. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. Their minds were blinded by who? The God of this age. Jesus even said it. You even see me. You see me do the miracles, yet you still don't believe. So there are those people who say, God, show me something. Prove it to me that you exist. Prove it. And some of you have done that. Yeah? And nothing happened. Now, it might be a few. God does what he does. Because some of us, he says, you're kind of dumb and I got to really show you. But others of you are okay. Okay? Because he doesn't have to prove himself. He gave himself. And he showed himself. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Huh. Isn't God amazing? Yes. I like that. The last part I want to share with you is Jesus tells this parable. I'm not going to go through every bit of it. But there's this parable of a great banquet. I love preaching this whole message, but I'm not going to be able to preach all this. I'm just going to pick a few pieces. I want you to go out and invite people to the great banquet. And these people had excuses. One said, I just bought a field. I just bought a field. I got to go check it out. One says, I just got married. I just have excuses. Even you share the gospel, people have excuses, don't they? That church would fall down if I walked in it. I've heard that one. I can't believe people even say that, but they say it. You know what they're really saying? My life is so bad, I don't even think God would take me. That's what they're saying. But isn't that who Jesus came for? Look at yourself. Just take a moment. Just jump in the past. You were messy. You're messy before God, wasn't you? You were messy. Now look at yourself. God's done some pretty good work in you. Amen? And so he says, the servant came back and reported to the master. And the owner's house, the owner of the house became angry and he ordered his servants, I want you to go out into the streets and the alleys and the towns and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame. I want you to go out and invite all these people to my banquet, sharing the gospel with people whose lives are all messed up. And sir, the servant said, what you ordered has already been done, but there is still room. Let me tell you today, there is room in heaven. But you got to invite. You got to share the gospel. And then he says, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads. Let me tell you, now he says, there's more room. I want you to go out to the roads. I want you to go out to the country lanes or the byways and the highways. And I want you to compel them to come in. That means that you got to compel them. You got to get into it. You got to share it like we're doing it today. Let them know it's an urgent. There's an urgency. There's an urgency. Let's take a breath for a second. All you that are Christians, just go, I'm getting in. I'm already in. I'm good. Okay, that felt good. We're in. We are in. We're good. We're good. But because now that you know that you're good with Christ, you know that you're good, you know that heaven is your home, you know that your Father, who your Father is, you know that you are an ambassador of Christ, you're a child of God, you're into the family, you're good, you're part of the family, you're good. Heaven's waiting for you. That's good, that feels great. But what about everybody else? You ever have a reunion? You ever have a Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, and there's those empty seats? We're always thankful for the ones that are there, but who do we talk about most? The ones that weren't able to make it. Who in your family right now, if Jesus were to come back today, there's an empty seat in heaven? Because they're not going to be there. There's an urgency that we need to get back to sharing the gospel and sharing what Jesus did with us. And let me tell you, sharing the gospel is not hard. It's one of the easiest things in the world. Everybody says, oh, it's complicated. No, it's not. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. Tell people what Jesus has done for you and tell them you can invite Jesus into your heart and Jesus will do a work in your life. I'm not going to make promises that God's what he's going to do for you, but I can tell you this, it's very simple. If you call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus will enter your heart. I know we can talk about the ABCs, admitting, believing, and confessing. We can do all those things, and those are great pieces. I use them all the time. But sometimes people just need to hear the basic, and then you wrap her back around, and you keep working with them, and you keep working with them. Told him, I want you to go out there and you compel them to come in so that my house is full. What is it saying? The Lord wants his house full. The Lord wants his house full. He wants people there. He says, I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get the taste of my banquet. Woo-hoo. Now that's those who were invited, not one of them will taste my banquet. Not one of them. There are people who have refused Jesus Christ. And they refused Jesus Christ. Heaven's doors refused them. It's simple. You either come to Christ or you don't. You either have Christ or you don't have Christ. You're either saved or you're not saved. Yeah, there are prodigals. There are prodigal children. We know there are prodigal. There are prodigal Christians. They're living in the pig pen. We need to pray for them. There's a process that God does with that. But we're talking about you're either saved or you're not saved. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? No, I'm just asking, are you saved? I can't tell you if you are. Satan will lie to you. The gospel penetrates through the hardest of hearts. None of you knew my daddy before he became a Christian. A long neck bottle and a cigarette and swear words all the time. And I would tell you, when I was 12 years old and he came to Christ, me and my brother and my mom and my dad, and I believe it, I've said it before, but I'll tell you this, a whole family can get saved on the same day. Somebody told me one time, that can't be true. I said, well, you need to go to the book of Acts, brother. I think Paul and Silas led a whole family, the jailer and his whole family, to the Lord, and they got baptized. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And I'll tell you what, when I woke up and we started going to church, and I said, what is this going on? The beer bottles were gone. Cigarettes were gone. Swear words were gone. Different people, all the beer drinker guys in those trucks, they stopped coming by. He stayed a couple minutes out there. He's sharing the gospel with them, what he's doing. Most of them just took on down the road. But then there'd be one out there, I'd see him praying within the truck. I was like, what? Big old grown men, big old beards, bottle in their hand, drinking trucks, and they'd be crying in their truck. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you what, that's when you know. When you love the Lord, your worldly ways stop and you start doing the things that the Lord calls you to do because your love for things are changed. Your lifestyle begins to change. And then someone that you never thought would come to Christ would come to Christ. And then someone else would come to Christ. And then someone else would come to Christ. And then someone else would come to Christ. And Chris was right. There's a lot of people that aren't here today. That was a part of new life in the beginning. And some of those people, they were saved. And a lot of people, there's been a lot of people that passed on, have died, as this was their church. Folks, I miss them. I miss. I mean, I heard the name Ruth early. A lot of you don't know her, but I miss her. Gladys Payne always tell me that same old testimony over and over and over. But now I can't hear it no more. And I miss her. I miss Luetta Smith. I miss my own father. I miss Jason Boyce. I miss Mike Myers. I miss Andrew Geringer. This is what I know about every one of them. Because of Jesus Christ, I will get to see them again. And so will you. And there's people that I don't know that you know, but because they've received Christ, that you're going to get to see them again. And it's not a goodbye. It is, I'll see you later. I'll see you down the road. I'll see you in the near future. The lost doesn't have that, folks. Those that don't know Christ does not have that. It's not my words, by the Word of God. If a person doesn't know Jesus Christ, they are lost. They will be judged in the great white throne judgment. And they will be judged by according to their works. And when you are judged according by your works, I'm telling you, when you're judged by your works, every man will fail. Every woman will come up guilty. Thank God we're not going to be part of the great white throne judgment. Woo. Why? Because we're so good? No, it's because we have one thing that they didn't have. It is Jesus Christ. And that wall, God allowed it to penetrate in God's grace and mercy. Not because they were great evangelists. Not because they kept doing it. No, it's because God's grace and mercy dropped that wall and gave you an opportunity to say, yes, Jesus. Still only comes back to Jesus, doesn't it? It still only comes back to Jesus. And when God brings it down and He forces it because He's stronger than the God of this age, it's going down. And the Holy Spirit's there. And they're battling for their eternal destiny. They're battling for their eternal life. They don't even know it. But that they know something spiritually is going on. There's something there. And they lean out and they want to grab it, but they're feeling pulled and they want to grab it. And then there's some that says, yes, yes, I want to get saved. And others will say, no, I'm not. And listen, God has all that. Let's let God be God. But let us be servants. The master of the home said, go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. That is what we're called to do here, to compel and share the gospel. That we might turn a light bulb for someone to come to Christ. We might turn it not for our glory, but for His. And in the end, when all the lights are lit up, is it that we look what we did? No. It's look what the power of prayer and fasting does. But yet, even not just that, not even that, it really comes back to God granting the answer to the prayer and fasting. Yes. Why would God answer yes? Because people is God's business. We are praying for so much stuff that's not even in God's business. Yet God still has grace and mercy and still blesses us. But you want to start seeing answered prayer, get into what God's interested in. Get into what God loves. Get into who God loves. God loves broken people. And I was one of them. And so are you. I feel good today. Not me good. I just feel good talking about what the most important thing in this world is. It is the gospel. And I feel good because I've received it. And I know that I have it. And I pray you do too. And if you don't, I'm telling you, the Bible, today is the day of salvation. For you, It could be your first day in the promises, receiving the promises of God. It could be your first day for you coming to realize that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you receive Him into your life. Stepping out of the old and stepping into Him. But that wall's there. The God of this age is blinding the minds of unbelievers. But we should not grow weary because we're looking for God to move and do the impossible, which only God can do, save a man or a woman's soul. Save it and redeem it from damnation to celebration. Father, we've heard your message this morning. Pierce the hardest of walls today. Pierce the hardest of walls. That your gospel will enter into the minds and the hearts of those that are lost. They will decide and make that decision to come to you. Father, truth from your word has been spoken today. And may someone or others come to that knowledge and receive salvation today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.